Hey, I am officially announcing the 6th annual Shepherd's Crook Intensive in Eminence, Missouri, May 16th through the 18th, and we would love to have you there. This year, AD Robles is going to be the speaker, along with Matt Reynolds and myself, and we're going to be spending 3 days, 2 nights, just having a great time hearing really good teaching, but also having a really great time just doing some cool stuff. We're going to have a strongman competition, we're going to have an arm wrestling competition, and we're going to canoe about 50 miles on two of the most amazing rivers in the Midwest. We would love to have you come. If you're looking for a good father-son trip, this is the trip for you. If you're just looking for a really good men's trip, this is the trip for you. Would love for you to register today. Go to theshepherdscrook.co. Or just reach out to me and I can make sure you're on the list. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. This ministry exists to provide coaching, resources, and events for pastors and church members. My name is Jared Sparks. Join me as I talk pastoral ministry, applied theology like manhood and womanhood, political theology, and cultural analysis with a little bit of hunting and fishing thrown in. I'm a husband, a father, and a pastor, and I'm here to remind you of the chief pastor and our King, Jesus. Welcome to the Shepherd's Crook Podcast. Hope you guys are having a great day today. Live in studio today, drinking a Black Rifle Coffee Company espresso and getting my fill of caffeine with my good buddy Mark Golden. Mark, how's it going, man?
Hey, doing great.
Good. We are going to talk about strength specifically in the decade of the 40s. Mark, I'll have to say, is a little bit older than me. 42?
I'm 42.
42. Okay. I just turned 40 and we've both been working out. He's ahead of me. We're going to talk a little bit about strength training and stuff. I think some of the caricature of getting into your 40s and 50s is that it's really hard to build strength and muscle. And, you know, there's kind of the horror stories of losing testosterone, losing strength, and kind of just going downhill after your late 30s. And I think there's a lot of folks that are really discovering that, hey, you know, we can get stronger and get more healthy. And my goal is to be stronger at 50. I hope I can, than I am at 40. I don't know about 60. I don't know if I can be stronger at 60 than I am at 50.
Probably can.
I don't know. There's guys that I'm sure have done that.
Yeah.
So, but we'll pray. And we'll also talk a little bit about you're the one that actually recommended this, the Comfort Crisis.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that too. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time. Ask for blessing upon this conversation. Thank you for a friend that gets to be here live and for his influence on my life and friendship over the years. Thank you for what's going on at First Baptist and with all the guys there and the stories that I hear about what you're doing there and from growth numerically to growth spiritually and just the group of guys that are getting discipled there is just awesome. So pray for a continued blessing upon Mark, his family, and the church and this discussion as well. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah. But real quick, I also want to mention Duckworth. We are sponsored by the company Duckworth this month and really excited about it because we're giving away a $175 hoodie, which is pretty cool.
Wow.
Wool, I know, right? It's great. Wool insulates when it's wet, and it's what they're trying to make is they're moving away from, he calls it like easy clothing or something like that, where it's throw away clothes, and they're moving sheep to shelf is what they're calling it. I kid you not. It's sheep to shelf. They take Montana sheep herd, they shear them, and then they actually make clothes right in America, and it's like a hoodie that lasts forever.
Yeah, so something your grandkids can wear.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's what I'm into. That's what a lot of my listeners are into. So, if you want to sign up for the giveaway, you can on Instagram. Check that out. And then also, the intensive is coming up in May. We'd love for you to be there. Mark's been there every year, but one. Have you been every year but one?
The first year you did, I wasn't there.
Yeah. And then the legendary year, which is your favorite.
Oh, that was the best.
Yeah. That was the year that you guys probably have heard about where several people almost died. And I think the only thing...
They didn't almost die. They're whining.
That's right. The only thing I think that would have made it better is if somebody actually did die. That might have made it a little bit better for Mark Goldman. I don't know.
Maybe if somebody had cried.
Cried. Maybe not died. But somebody broke their back or something. I don't know. But that was kind of like the embrace the suck, this is awesome kind of trip.
That was the year we should have compiled our notes and written a short story about the entire thing.
Oh man, like Andy and I went down. Did you go down? Were you the one that didn't go down? You didn't get sucked under at all, did you?
No, we did have to get out of the boat, but we never flipped. It was two canoes out of about 11 that did not flip, and I was one of them.
Russ has never been on a river again. Probably won't ever. I think he's still traumatized.
Yeah, neither Eric.
And Eric is probably traumatized. Never do it again. Fellow Heron pastor over there.
Yeah.
Eric Lamb.
I invite him every year.
Do you? He probably trembles and turns white. But there was something to that, though. I don't know why. It's like a shared experience. I mean, anytime you do something together and it goes bad, it's something to overcome and ends up being awesome.
Oh, yeah. Any guy from that trip, I could get up, just give him a hug.
I know.
We've endured together.
It's the trip 30 years from now. We'll be like, you remember when? Every time we get together, it's like, yeah, I do remember that. You kind of tip your hat to him, and we survived. So hopefully, I don't know if it'll happen again. It's kind of like you want things to go better, but if it goes better, because the last few years, everything's gone really smooth, it seems like. And then I don't really remember the last couple of years because of that, you know?
It's always fun, though. I mean, it's always a good camaraderie. You always meet somebody new.
Yeah.
It's a great thing.
Heatherly, always the dude that looks 50, but does the self-defense with Justin.
Yeah.
He's always intimidating, and it's a good way to start off. 2 years ago, he started off, he's like, talking about, you know, you got to be willing to kill people and all this stuff, and, you know, you break their neck, and it was like the perfect way to ease into the intensive, you know.
Yeah.
That was cool. All right, so you text me about comfort crisis. That was after you walked 50 miles, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you did the strenuous life. Are you still doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I've been thinking recently how critical. So I've been thinking about, just follow the string of thought here, virtual reality and the possibility of government incentivized living inside, not just like the Facebook Meta thing or whatever, but living inside like that Apple mask thing that's out now. And how many guys, if they could live inside a video game and be paid to do it, would actually do that? Because there's conquest, there's risk, reward, there's, you know, blood, there's power, it's all virtual, but like there's something to that that we don't get in this life, and especially in ministry. And I was thinking how critical, if we don't, and especially after reading Comfort Crisis, if we don't intentionally pursue hardship, voluntary hardship, then like we literally cannot be healthy men. And I don't know if it's right or wrong to say that, but I think it's pretty critical. So why was comfort crisis and strenuous life? I don't know if that all went together. I'm sure it did kind of interplay a little bit, but so why was that impactful? Like, I don't know. What do you think?
The premise of the book is that the things that are killing us are all due to comfort. Too much sugar, too much food, too much play. Most of the diseases that are attacking us are due to comfort, and you kind of just realize the role of trial and pain and striving of our overall general health, and how those things are necessary. You know, we live in a very sanitized, very safe world, and that's not necessarily a good thing.
Mm-hmm. It was interesting because he was talking about the stress of the situation when you don't really know. I forget the word he called it. He like coined a word for it, but it was, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I'm going to make it.
Right.
But putting yourself in those situations where.
Yeah, it was some kind of a challenge.
It was a challenge because he was talking about, okay, if you can run regularly 5 miles, then sign up for a half marathon and run it the next day. Yeah. You know, where you're like, maybe can do it, maybe not, but it triggers something inside of you. Even like the stresses of food when. Just like 150 years ago or 100 years ago, you had the mental anxiety of like, I mean, you had to work through the challenge of, we've got to get food. I've got to get food for my family. Where we don't, the comfort is where it's like, okay, in one sense, a blessing. You go to the refrigerator and you get food, or you go to the grocery store. But the other sense is, it's like, okay, because that burden is lifted from you, you have this new burden of, you know, either obesity or you know, things that you now don't have to do that you used to have to do to go get the food.
Right.
And so the comforts that are killing you are blessings, but they can be a curse.
Right.
In some way.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things I took out of that, along with a lot of other things, is just the relationship of body and soul. Mm-hmm. It's like the way you treat your body, You just can't dissect those two. The way you treat your body affects how you treat your soul. Mm-hmm. I mean, I realize, you know, Paul says bodily training is of some value, but godliness is a value in every area, and that's true. But that he doesn't say that bodily training is of no value.
Right.
Try to separate your body and soul. Just try to do it. Your created body and soul, and you'll exist forever, body and soul. Mm-hmm. So it's like a weird form of Gnosticism where mm-hmm. you just act like, well, I'll take care of my soul and ignore my body. Yeah. And I think that one thing I just have learned as I've gotten older is that if you neglect your body, it will negatively affect your soul. Mm-hmm. So a lot of that stuff that I came across was just kind of putting those two pieces together, that if I can learn to discipline my body, it will help me in disciplining my soul. And so, yeah, doing hard things, lifting weights, doing those things to just, well, I mean, even the New Testament, Paul uses all kinds of physical analogies to explain spiritual training.
Yeah.
You know, boxing, I don't box as one who beats the air, you know, like an athlete. I don't run, you mm-hmm. know, without direction. I set my sights on where I'm going to go, and I run hard. So, especially when you get into your 40s, because if you're not intentional about taking care of your body, there's no real incentive to take care of it.
Yeah, right. So, you're kind of a naturally, like Isaac. You used to be like Isaac, right? Isaac, your son. Yeah.
Just skinny.
Beanpole.
Yeah.
So, you just said you're 220, 6'3", 220.
Yeah.
You know? You've never been a fat guy, though.
No.
So, before you started lifting, let's shift a little bit to working out. Because, so I ran for 15 years. Mm-hmm. Didn't have the discipline of being in the gym, working out. I had worked out in my early 20s. And then just stayed skinny, stayed thin just through genetics and through running 10, 15 miles a week. But I remember when I first started working out again, I got under 145 or 135. And I was doing sets of eight.
Yeah.
So like with 135. So I had lost, I was just, that was weak. Like I just wasn't very strong. And that was when I think it was probably like 30, two and a half years ago maybe. So I have been working out more than a year and a half. It's been about 2 years now. But certainly I'm definitely stronger at 40 than I was at 30.
Yeah.
So, but you've been at it for a while. So did you start, when you started working out? How long ago was it?
I've been doing it for 4 years. So I had stopped. I had started with a couple of just whatever weights I had right before COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And like 2 weeks before COVID shut everything down, I stopped at a store and bought a bench and a whole bunch of weights mm-hmm. for a real good price. And I had it all set up, and then COVID hit, and I had all this time to lift weights.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Were you pretty weak? Or were you?
My deadlift was like 130.
Was it really?
I was real scared of hurting myself. Uh-huh. I had a lot of lower back pain.
Well, that's what everybody says too. It's like, especially with deadlifting, the warning is if you start deadlifting, especially if you're older, you're going to hurt yourself.
No, I had back pain before I was doing deadlifts. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why I got into lifting is because I was having these old body symptoms. Like my, mm-hmm. I would lay in bed and my back would just spasm. And I was just like, I'm too young to be having this much back trouble.
Yeah.
And I don't have any back pain anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's because, you know, you strengthen your body. Mm-hmm. And honestly, just before COVID hit, I mean, I was worn out with a lot of things and I wasn't taking good care of myself. And even mentally, just, you know, it was struggling. Mm-hmm. And I've become an advocate, especially for guys, to lift heavy weights because of the impact it had upon me mentally. Mm-hmm. It just felt good to get in there, to do it. And then the more you did it, the better you felt and more confident it made you, the way it carried over into other areas of life. It's going to sound bad, but the respect it garners from other people. Mm-hmm. Men tend to respect guys who are disciplined.
Yeah, right.
And so when they see somebody who's disciplined and they come in and they talk to you, they tend to pay attention a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, and I guess the reverse is true too. If you're talking to a guy who obviously is undisciplined, you just don't put a lot of weight into what he says.
Right, So for you, so are you deadlifting like a traditional deadlift bar? Are you still doing that?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm doing the hex bar.
Yeah.
And it's, I noticed today, because I was doing it today, and Joey Hawkins was saying if you do a hex bar, it's usually about 80% of what you do with a deadlift bar, regular deadlift.
Oh, okay.
So it's just a different motion.
Right.
So instead of, it's more like a, he was saying it was more like a squat motion than it is a deadlift motion. Because your hands are in the middle of your body.
Yeah.
Rather than in front of you.
Right.
So you're just you're doing a little bit different motion.
Probably
there.
More in your hips and your hamstrings.
Yeah. Hey, open that door real quick. And folks, you're just going to have to hear this correction. My sons are dunking out there. They discovered how much they love basketball.
Well, they are watching Space Jam.
Yeah, they're tearing the wall apart. Hey, Ransom and Valor. Hey, come here real quick, guys.
Yeah.
Hey, as me and Mark are talking in here, please don't be dunking right now just because it's so loud and you can hear on the recording. Okay? Thank you very much. Valor, no dunking. They've discovered they love basketball, and every question is, Dad, could he dunk? Could he dunk from the free throw line? Is he in the Hall of Fame? Is he big time in the Hall of Fame? Was he a Christian? Was he a big time Christian?
Nice.
And that's kind of how it goes. So, over so many people, could he dunk from the free throw line? We're Pete Maravich fans, and Ransom's reading the biography of Pete Maravich. I somehow found Pete Maravich's son, Jason. He's 44 years old. Text him, the dude texts me back.
Wow.
So I'm having Pete Maravich's son on the podcast in like 2 months.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty cool. So they're really excited about that.
Yeah.
So, announcement, guys. What is it when you announce something and, spoiler alert, Pete Maravich's son coming on the show.
Nice.
So I'm doing the hex bar. Okay, let's work through this. So guys out there that are like, okay, can I get into this? You know, I don't want to have a ton of money to spend on coaching or that kind of thing. I bought some weights. Tyler Ramsey already had the weight, a lot of the weights. He had the bench press. He got it from Dick's Sporting Goods.
Yep.
He had some weights already. I bought some extra weights, and we split the money for the hex bar. And he had me on this program. And basically this program, so here's what I'm doing. I am doing two days a week of bench press and deadlift.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm thinking like with this, it's because I just read through Comfort Crisis just you know, 2 months ago or month and a half ago or something like that. And then it's like going along with what I'm experiencing in life because I've been already trying to do difficult things and then get stronger. And it's just, it's kind of lining up where it's just a really, I'm in a good spot physically and spiritually. It's just, those things, like you said, go together. But I'm doing that 2 days a week. So the bench press program I'm on is a 14-week program and it's a deadlift program as well. So it's over 14 weeks and you, every 3 weeks, if you hit your AMRAP, a rep, where you hit, if you hit 7 after your set of this, either the deadlift or the bench press, then you move up 5%. And there's 3 opportunities to move up 5% over that that course of that 14 weeks. So you're, like, all I'm doing is, like today I did 3 sets of 3 on the deadlift and 4 sets of 4 on the bench press. And then this week, the rest of the week, then I'll have lighter days. And then the heavier days, it's really not a ton of, I mean, I'm not doing 4 sets of, of 10 of 3 different kinds of lifts.
Yeah.
And then with deadlift, it's usually only 3 or 4 sets of, you know, up to 8 reps.
Right.
So it's not a whole lot. But man, have I moved up quite a bit. And so, you know, I'm hoping to hit goals. And so I'm hoping to deadlift now. I was wanting to deadlift just 360, but I just hit 330 the other day because I was like, I wonder where I'm at. So I'm going to try to get 400 by the end of the year. And that's a huge jump. So it's like, I think I can probably do on the hex bar 340 maybe. So 60 more pounds. And then I'd like to bench like 235, 240 is kind of my new goal.
Yeah.
If I can do that 165 pounds, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah.
So, okay, what are you doing?
Well,
let me interrupt you real quick. The other two or three days a week, I'm at Planet Fitness doing machines. And I'm just doing shoulders and arms. That's basically all the rest I'm doing.
So I was like you. I'm too cheap to pay for a gym membership. Best thing that a guy can do if he wants to get into it is get on Facebook Marketplace, buy used equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is it fun to try to negotiate prices, you get your stuff, it's yours, you set it up. You don't have to deal with driving to a gym. You don't have to deal with the girls, you know, letting it all hang out in there and all that good stuff.
Dude, I was doing my shoulder press and right in front of me, this girl is doing this thrusting thing in these spandex and I'm doing the shoulder press and just like looking straight in the air.
Yeah. I've had other guys tell me that they were doing some kind of lift with their eyes closed And I don't have to deal with any of that. I cleaned out a room in a garage. And the other thing I tell guys is it doesn't really matter so much about, you don't have to find the perfect lifting plan, but it can't be your plan. Mm-hmm. Like, let somebody else, like, find somebody who knows any, even a little bit more than you, make your plan.
Like, are you doing online or like a buddy?
I have a buddy who he writes out a plan. He may change it, tweak it every once in a while, but it's basically compound lifts, squat, deadlift, shoulder press, bench press, pull ups. It's the same general things every time.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason is because if you try to follow your own plan, you'll cheat.
Hmm.
But if you follow somebody else's plan and then you show them how you're doing with it, you'll stick to it because you didn't make it.
Yeah, because when I started with Tyler and he got me on this plan, I did go. I broke through barriers.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. If you're following somebody else's plan, especially if they know what they're doing, but even if they know, just know more than you,
mm-hmm.
and then if you just stick with it, you'll make progress. And you know, you kind of define what your goals are. Do you want to be strong? Do you want to get big? Do you want to just stay healthy? Those kind of things, you know, change kind of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I've done a dozen different ones, just tweak it. But, so I don't know. I don't even remember exactly what I'm doing now. It's the same basic stuff that I've always been doing, but
4 days a week, 5 days a week.
Yeah. Four-ish. Mm-hmm. And then after I fill up a page, cause I still use pen and paper. And, after I fill up a page, you have to record it too.
So I'm not doing that. Okay. I'm doing it digitally, actually. Well, I guess I am because I'm doing it in a program.
Well, if you record it, you can see that you're making the progress.
Yeah, right.
And so after 6 weeks or so, I'll snap a picture mm-hmm. and send it to him. And then he can see what I'm doing. And he may give me a couple of suggestions or something like that. Or say, well, it looks like you're doing well in this thing or something. It's the easy level of accountability that anybody can do. But man, those are the best things that you can do is buy used weights. You know, don't go nuts. Just get a routine. You know, there's online things too. And you might even find a friend who you can just, you know, after you filled out a couple of workouts, snap a picture of it, send it to him.
Mm-hmm.
And
so, what's your goal now? I mean, is it to stay healthy, to get stronger? What?
My goal this year was to get bigger.
Okay.
Like physically bigger.
Mm-hmm. Like jacked?
Well, I don't know if about jacked, but I just, I do have a spot in my back that I have to be real careful with squats and deadlifts. Mm-hmm. So I don't usually go real heavy on it. Okay. And because I lift alone, I have the guard things on the squat rack that I can keep myself from, like, you know, dying. But I still, when I first started, I did have a couple times where I did something to my back and I'd have to take off a couple of weeks. I hated that. I just hated re-injuring something. And so I try to be real careful with that. So I've been doing lighter weight, more reps kind of stuff, eating like a hog.
Yeah. So you're eating a ton of protein.
Yeah. Greek yogurt is fantastic. It's like pure protein.
You're doing shakes and stuff too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't do as much of the protein whey protein shakes as I used to, but the Greek yogurt, raw eggs, throw it all in a protein shake with some whey protein.
Oh, I didn't think about putting eggs in it because we've been doing smoothies, but I've not been doing that. But throwing eggs in there,
everybody's like, "Well, raw eggs or whatever." It's like, get over it. You don't even taste
it, man. People freak out about raw milk too. We've got a dealer now; it's illegal in Illinois, but if you're getting it for animals.
Oh.
You can get it. So we found a dealer who's willing to sell it to us. Yeah, I know. Come on now. It's crazy. For me, it's been a lot of fun just because I've never been, you know, when I've said this before, so sorry, guys, if you've heard me say this, but I thought I was the strongest I'd ever been like 6 months ago. And then when I started, because I was working out on machines, and I would get under the bench press every once in a while. But until I started this program, I realized it, when I was like 23 or 4, I bench pressed 195 five times. So that was always my mental note of, okay, that's, I knew I could do that at one point. Now I'm there.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely as strong. And with deadlifting, I never deadlifted when I was younger at
right.
all.
No.
So the goals I have in mind are, we just had Oak, and he's so at 40. So I'm thinking, like, we started way later than you and Valerie did.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It was, you. How old were you when Isaac was born?
22, 23.
Okay. So you can probably still rough him up if you needed to.
Oh, or yeah.
Is it close?
He's 6'8", but I don't know how much he weighs.
He's 6'8"?
Yeah.
He's grown even since I saw him then.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Dang.
But it's hard to fill out when you're 6'8".
Man.
So, and I'm meaner than he is.
So did he grow after high school? Has he grown
yeah.
in the last year and
yeah,
a half?
He's grown another year.
Man.
Another inch.
Year. Another inch?
Yeah.
Wow. So, you know, when I'm looking forward, I'll be 60, he'll be 20. So
yeah.
If I want to just physically be able to do things with him, I'd rather on the front end get this discipline as just a part of my life. Because like with running isn't a discipline just for me anymore just because I just do it. I mean, there's like an internal ticking time clock where I just know like, oh, I'm going to go run. I don't care how cold it is,
right.
what, if it's rainy or not. It doesn't require any discipline. I just enjoy it.
Yeah.
But working out finally with weight training, not really training, but I guess training, I don't know. But I feel like it's finally there as well, where it's stuck. And I think if I can keep it and don't get injured, if I don't push it too hard, then I can keep building and getting stronger. And
yeah.
What would be great if I could get to 225, bench pressing 225 and like deadlifting 400 and then always stay above that.
Right.
You know, like if I can stay above that. And I mean, like Cam Haynes, he's 50. He's a freak, obviously.
Yeah.
But he's like 56. And, you know, still doing things that guys in their 20s,
right.
you know, struggle. I mean, can't do. You know?
Well, especially for pastors, the benefits are well beyond your physical benefits. And you always, this isn't like no quarter November, but... You know, you don't want to have to qualify everything. Obviously, you can fall into the trap of, you know, becoming obsessed with body image or something like that. You can make anything into an idol. But honestly, in the culture that we're in, that's less of an issue. And the opposite is more of the issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Joey Hawkins, because he and I got into it at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was making the point that... when you get into like a Blue Monday, he said the lows are not as low and they don't last as long.
Mm-hmm.
There's really something to that. Like when you physically feel better, like you don't get into these mental ruts
mm-hmm.
like you did when you're physically weak. You don't realize how much your body affects your mind and your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, but just the other benefits, like other men will listen to you when
yeah.
they see that you're taking good care of yourself. Who wants to be shepherded by somebody who can't take care of themselves?
Mm-hmm.
And like I say, it's not like you have to be a bodybuilder.
Right.
They'd like to see that you have the self-discipline that if you're responsible and taking good care of yourself and your own family,
mm-hmm.
then they feel like they can trust you, that you're going to take good care of them too.
Yeah, I think... So back to the book, back to Comfort Crisis. And I've just been spinning, driving, thinking. And back to the virtual reality thing too, about conquest, video games, why they're so attractive for a lot of young guys that get sucked into that. And I think it almost is a spiritual discipline to sit across from somebody, so we're both in ministry, and to say to a young guy or any man, what are you doing that is stretching, that is... Like what is physically demanding in your life? If you're not doing things that are difficult in your life, it's almost like you just can't grow. If you aren't doing things that are stretching you mentally and physically and fitting that into your life, and that's why Ted Roosevelt, you know, the man in the arena, there's critics everywhere, but it's the man in the arena that's getting it done, that's doing the work, that's bleeding, that's sweating. And I think it's critical for the life of a man in 2024 America. You have to do things that are difficult. And if you're not doing anything that in your life, if nothing is physically difficult, you will be soft and stay soft, and you won't get strong until you start challenging yourself and forcing yourself to do difficult things.
Yeah.
And that book, when he went on the hunting trip for a month.
Yeah.
In the Yukon or whatever. It's like, that was awesome.
Yeah.
But it's like, those things are good for men. And yeah. we have to have those things in our life, or there's just, there's something that just shrivels up inside. I mean, it just, you just have to have it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that book is, I knew you would love it because it incorporates science, hunting.
Mm-hmm.
It's like everything you like.
So yeah, it was fun.
I knew to send it to you.
I was like, Jordan, listen to this. Listen to this. Goldman was telling me about this. He was right. It's so good. You know, there's some weird stuff in it, too.
There was some weird stuff in there, too. Like, when he gets done, he hasn't bathed in a month. Yeah. He's been, you know, going to the bathroom out in the wilderness, and he stands in the shower for like a half an hour and uses soap like crazy, and then he talks to that lady, and she's like, well, you'd probably have been better off not to have used the soap. Okay. Maybe.
Yeah, the evolution stuff in there, that's always just what you got to deal with when you're reading books like that. That stuff is kind of cheesy as well, but really a helpful book. And at some point, I think Eric Kahn is going to do a review of that book, because I already mentioned something about that. But man, is it helpful. I encourage you to get it, because it does challenge you. And I think, so The Strenuous Life, like, what's your review with The Strenuous Life? Has that been a good thing, a positive thing for you to do?
Yeah, it's fun. I still keep up a message board with several of the guys who are on it, and it's been fun, you know, for the last 4 years or so. We've just gotten to know each other. The funny thing is that we haven't even met each other, like, face-to-face, but, you know, you share things that are going on in your life, and the fun thing about The Strenuous Life thing is that the little challenges, you have these badges, and they do kind of stretch you in different directions. Things that you may not ever try. It kind of gives you a little bit of a blueprint of how to kind of try something new.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you go through different phases of your life. You know, I remember when I was younger, there would be a lot of people who'd be like, so tell me about your hobbies. I'm like, hobbies? Hobbies are for people who don't have kids.
Yeah, right.
Hobbies? Are you kidding?
Talk about.
And, but now that my kids are a little older, and I don't have to, you know, I don't even put them to bed. They can put themselves to bed, kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it does leave room for hobbies. And so it's kind of nice to have things that you can try, do something new. And there's always, most guys need a little healthy competition.
Yeah.
I don't think that people realize that you kind of need that. You know, that cabin trip. I just got back from that cabin trip.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And that's four or five guys I went to college with and our old professor. And it's the perfect environment.
We can name drop right now. Mark was he's been mentored by a heavy hitter.
Yeah,
but we won't do that.
Well, you have somebody like Jim Work.
There we go.
He's a paragon of you know, manliness and self discipline, and a deep thinker. And you go there and you read a book and you try to keep up. But then there's three or four other guys who you're all trying to not say something stupid and try to say something intelligent. And that itself has been probably more of a catalyst towards trying to grow into honorable manhood than anything.
Hmm.
You have a man who you're trying to impress. Yeah. Impress. You aren't trying to impress him. And then you got other guys who you're trying to compete against.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons why I got into weightlifting is because for years we did a bench press competition. I usually got last.
Oh, at that place you did?
Yeah.
Bench press competition?
Dr.
Ulrich would beat you too?
Oh, he wins every year.
Does he really?
He's 63 years old. He won again this year.
Really?
Yeah. You do your body weight. So you had to bench press your body weight. I think the first couple of years I did, I weighed about 200.
Okay.
And I'd be happy if I got one rep.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started lifting, and I went from one to two to four. I remember when I got four, I was like, oh, man, this is awesome.
I'm a beast.
I'm a beast. And then 2 years ago, I got 12.
Okay.
And another guy had worked all year and got 13. So dang. I've gotten second place for like four years in a row.
So what did Jim, what did he get this year? What did he get?
So we do two things now. We do a max out.
Okay.
So he lifted 320.
Dang.
And then we do how many reps of your
body. At
63.
Man.
And then we did how many reps you can do. And so he did 12 or 13 reps of 225, which is how much he weighs. And so we were talking about, you know.
Dude, that is impressive.
Oh, yeah. And they were like, well, what are we going to do for next year? I go, I guess I could get serious and try to beat Jim in the bench press competition. He goes, yeah, but you know what's going to happen? If you beat me, people are going to say, how old is Jim now?
Yeah.
64 years old. Oh, well.
Yeah. It's like, that's nice that you beat an old man.
Nice that you finally beat an old man.
But know. Man, how great is that? 64 years old or 63 years old and still doing that. That's incredible.
Yeah, you talk to these guys who play video games all day. And that's just really sad. You don't realize what a waste of your potential. And
but here's the thing, like, and I first heard this about Foster. It's so understandable because it gives men what they long for. And it's conquest, it's victory, and it's life on the edge of death, victory, life.
Yeah.
Like, it sucks them in because it hits what men going into battle used to actually experience in real life.
It is, but it's a lie. It's the same lie as pornography.
Right.
You know, you didn't fight that giant and you didn't win that girl. Mm-hmm. She doesn't like you. She's not turned on by you. It's all a lie. It's all fantasy. That's the really sad thing. And the sad thing is that you could do all of those things. I mean, maybe you're not going to be a wizard on whatever video game you're going to be, but you have that potential to do amazing things, but mm-hmm. you're not doing them.
Right.
And it's way more rewarding to do those things in real life mm-hmm. than it is to do it in a fantasy world.
Well, especially if you're a young guy without a family. It's like, man, what are you doing? You can do anything you want to do. You can yeah. work hard. You can make a lot of money. You can get fit. You can go run a double marathon. You can beat Jim Warrick in the bench press record. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do as a young man. And I think that is the allure, though, is that we want that conquest. Where are we going to go get it? Where are we going to go find it? And if we don't pursue difficulty, I think guys can go through their entire life without having any challenge they actually overcame.
Yeah.
Like any physical challenge, anyways, that they had to overcome. I mean, in work, you're going to overcome some challenges, but the nature of life as a man is you've got to face challenge as much as you possibly can and push through it. Like face it, run towards it, run through it, or, I mean, just do what's necessary to figure out the problem. And if you don't have that, man, it's easy to, especially when you get in your 40s and 50s, and it's easy the older you get to get into a place where you think everything is for the young men when it comes to challenge, when it comes to physical demands. And I think, you know, I want to do the opposite of that. It's like, man, I'd like to be able to do more things physically I did in my 40s and 50s than I did in my 20s and 30s.
You know, some of that stuff, it's like the essence of sin. Sin is to fall short of the glory of God, which is almost like to say it's falling short of the potential which God made you to do. And I think that's one of the really sad things about it. Probably one of the best things that a young man can have is have an older man who points out the potential that he has. I think that's probably why Joe Rogan and Jordan Peterson are so popular, is because they actually tell a guy straight, like, you could be more than what you are.
Yeah.
And they believe it. They just need somebody who says, maybe I can show you how. Those young guys in my church who I meet with, I'm constantly saying, everybody sees your potential but you. Your wife saw it or she never would have married you. Your kids see it and that's why they want to be proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
The government sees it and that's why they make you register for the draft. Satan sees it and that's why he tries to keep you addicted to porn and always down.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody sees it. Everybody sees your potential but you.
Yeah.
And if you would see it and aim for it of what you could be, you have no idea what you can accomplish. The church sees it. If you go into a church and you see a bunch of young men who are trying, man, that you're impressed.
Yeah, right. Well, I think that's what people see about First Baptist Heron. I mean, you got a great group of young guys that have rallied around you. And for the pastors out there, if you pursue some of the things we're talking about here, it's almost like bugs to a light.
Yeah.
There is a draw to that kind of existence, that kind of living. Because I think guys want that kind of life. And when they see somebody living that way, they're at least going to start asking questions. Hey, what are you doing? Hand over that grip strength thing over here. I want to see what my grip strength is. And what are you bench pressing? And some of that can be vain. But I think what you said earlier was like, it's pretty critical. Okay, the problem isn't necessarily, it probably for some guys it's going to be vainglory. For boasting, for getting jacked and walking around, you know, with sleeves off and you know, showing off kind of thing. But for most guys, there's just going to be joy and a challenge and getting stronger, and it's going to be camaraderie and friendship and challenging one another to get better. And I think the more the danger is to do nothing. It's more dangerous to do nothing than it is to get strong or to pursue physical challenge. Yeah. Than the risk of getting strong, pursuing physical challenge, and then getting prideful about it. Yeah. It's a greater risk of not doing it and being in a really bad and unhealthy place.
Yeah, Michael Foster, in his book, he makes the point that you are not a defective woman. Mm-hmm. And that it's a good thing to be a man. And I have found that young men, when you explain that to them, they find that really liberating. Mm-hmm. They've been through whatever way, it has been impressed upon so many young men that if they could just be more like girls, that the world would be a better place. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, being aggressive, being assertive, being strong, all of that stuff is just, it's like connected with some negative idea that's male chauvinism or something mm-hmm. like that. And that's just so sad.
Yeah.
Because the communities in which the men rise up and fulfill their potential, man, you find women and children are the happiest in those situations.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Dude, it's been good. Yeah. Appreciate you coming to talk. We'll keep talking some more. We've been talking about comfort crisis. Michael Eaton, is that right?
Easter?
Or Easton. Easter? Just Google it. You figure it out. And then The Strenuous Life, we've mentioned, is Art of Manliness.
Yeah, that's right.
From their website. So shout out to Brett McKay and Matt Reynolds, who's going to be speaking at the intensive, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, thanks guys for listening. Appreciate it. Mark, thanks, man.
All right.
Thanks again for listening to the Shepherd's Crook podcast. For more information, you can go to theshepherdscrook.co. Please consider leaving a rating or review on iTunes. And if you want to become a member of the Shepherd's Crook, please message me and we'll get you on the list. We hope you have a great rest of your day.